Greg.
Hi. Anybody know whether Ross is...
What was that, Brian?
Does anybody know whether Ross is planning to join the call today?
Not for sure.
Yeah. Well, why don't we go ahead and get started? Ross and I have exchanged an email. I think everyone's been copied on it. You know, I don't know whether Ross is planning to do a draft report. He indicated in an email exchange this morning that, that he would do so, and he's, you know, it seems to me that this draft could have been circulated previously. But what are people's views on the sort of the rough outline of the draft report that I circulated in an email this morning? And we can talk about Ken's point when we get to it, but... What do people think about what the report should look like in terms of how we go about it? Okay. In light of the deafening silence.
Yeah.
No, the only reason I was being deafeningly silent, Brian, is because you referred that you could get to my point in a little while. So, I mean, I'll be more than happy to speak up, but maybe we ought to start with somebody else and then I'll bring mine up.
Yeah, all right. Well, but why don't we just go with what I proposed? I mean, it seems to me that, you know, part of what we're going to do is what we did in the interim report, which is to say what we've done and the fact that the responses have been very limited, and therefore we don't really have any kind of meaningful data on which to base, or put it this way, we don't have data that we could then extrapolate best practices from. We just don't have it. And I think what we should do, and what I proposed in the email this morning is, you know, A, go ahead and report what's been done and the limited responses. B, develop a best practices document. And I'll come back to that because I know that's going to be a big issue. And then third, go ahead and report the various constituency positions in the document because we're not going to have time from when we get a draft to then determine whether or not we have a supermajority position. It seems to me what we ought to do is go ahead and draft it, include in the report various constituency positions, see what we can on that. My understanding on the contract review was that was to be handled by ICANN. And Barbara, is that correct? I mean, I thought that was sort of an ICANN obligation.
I'm sorry, which part of the report was an ICANN obligation?
Ask for this review of the contracts to recommend any changes that are required.
That would arise out of whether in your evaluation of best practices you determined that there were things that should be changed, and then ICANN would do a review of that said, okay, these are the areas that would require change in contracts or an RAA, and that we would identify those areas based on the recommendations that arose. I mean, we can do it. Obviously, it has to be something that can be included in the preliminary report, but we can't do an evaluation of what needs to change without knowing what you're trying to recommend.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of chicken and egg in a certain sense, but it's also not. I mean, you guys need to sort of have some concrete direction that you want to go in, and then we'll say, you know, to do that would require these kinds of changes in the contract,
yeah.
sort of thing.
Okay. And then I thought we could identify some verification mechanisms. That, I mean, obviously there's some that exist currently. I mean, that some registrars are using, and we can at least report on what some of those are and put them out there as options. In terms of the best practices, it seems to me that, given that we don't have data, it's hard to, not impossible, to extrapolate a best practices document. And maybe the thing to do there is simply to report some of what's happening out there and indicate that it is not, by any means an extrapolation based on, statistically significant responses, and then just point those out as additional options. And I think, where we go from here, or at least one thing to consider, is that this is not, given the lack of response, there is really, not a whole lot we can say. One thing
I would point out that there's not a whole lot you can say based on new information. But
right.
I imagine there are things you could say that arise out of already existing information. I mean, there's nothing you're going to be able to say about best current practices around verification systems if we haven't been told of enough of them to develop a best current practice model.
Right. But what about addressing in part the problem with proceeding in this way? I mean, we have a group of volunteers who come up with a survey that goes out to all these various groups and associations and companies, and you get nothing back. I mean, it seems to me that maybe there is, what about a recommendation that some kind of private group be retained to conduct a formal survey? I mean, if you really want meaningful information to come back, isn't that the way to do it? Because
I think it's perfectly appropriate to spend part of the report discussing the drawbacks to how work was able to proceed. I don't think that should be the bulk of your report, but I think it's certainly an appropriate, item to include in why you aren't able to form recommendations in certain areas.
Okay. All right. Okay, Ross, let's talk about your point then. Anybody have any thoughts on that or any comments about the report?
Is Ross on the call now?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Well, I thought you just said, Ross, let's talk about...
I'm sorry, I meant Ken. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, let me kind of give you an overview. We just got done talking about Task Force 3 and the other task forces in the registry constituency.
Right.
Give you an overview of the whole thing as we see it at this point in time. First of all, running all three of these task forces in parallel is creating some real problems because a lot of the actions that would be contemplated are to a great extent triggered by actions in other task forces, especially dealing with task force number two. With respect to these surveys, it has been consistent throughout all the task forces that the response levels on the surveys have been poor, to say poor at best, principally because of the fact that most people are not highly motivated to fill out long questionnaires or willing to take the time to do it, even if in many cases they may be impacted by decisions that are made. There's no carrot out there for these people to do this. So as a result, we're not the only ones experiencing problems in this area. Now, with respect to the specific recommendations that you have here, Brian, I'm going to start backwards and then work my way forward. Item number 5, identify a few verification mechanisms that can be used cost-effectively to combat deliberate provision of false information. Okay? One of the problems that we have is that we're still dealing with two different types of registries, and in the case of the thinner registry models, It is, and because of the fact that the registries are really not in a position in most cases to communicate with the registrants, we feel that it would probably be best that these verification mechanisms be implemented at a level, if we do select any, that is as close as possible to the registrant. And the biggest concern that we would have, and this to some extent comes from my experience working in the registrar constituency, is cost effectiveness. It's a very difficult process to do, and some of the registries that are using verification mechanisms, namely the STLDs, for initially approving registrants, find that these mechanisms are very, very difficult to implement in a cost-effective basis. In most cases, it requires human intervention, and the minute you put a human being in there, you run into problems, cost problems. So I think you're going to have to really work hard to identify mechanisms that make sense. I'll give you an example. Rick Wesson proposed mechanisms which may make sense in the United States because there is a database that is available for postal codes and so forth. But the minute you take a registrant out of the U.S., you run into problems, first of all, on even getting that information, and number two, you have conflicts in many countries with access to that information, because even getting access to the information to use for authentication or verification may require approval of the party whose information you're trying to access, or may be in violation of the various privacy laws. And we have representatives on this task force from the European Union, I believe, who could probably back me up on that. So, you know, we've got a bit of a minefield here to deal with in terms of the verification mechanism.
Do you have this this statement? Have you submitted that? Have you posted it, Ross?
Have I wished him, sorry?
I'm sorry, Ken. Have you posted that statement?
Which statement?
Didn't you say that you had a written either a letter or a position paper from the registry constituency?
No, we were talking about it today. We have not. We're still working on it because there are both operational issues with items number 1 and 5 and significant legal issues with items number 1 and 5, not even taking into consideration the ICANN.
When do you plan to submit that?
Hopefully, I doubt if it's going to be by Friday, because the items that we're really concentrating now are in direct response to the email that you just sent out. Because, frankly, we think you're really starting to get down to the nub of the real issue, and that is, you know, identifying those items and determining whether, from a practical standpoint, they can be implemented, and at what level would they be implemented?
Yeah. Well, can you get that, whatever the position is, or even the thoughts that you've articulated, you get that in writing and get it to us on Monday?
Yeah, I would hope so. Over Monday, we'll be able to, because I've got one person who's very strong operationally in the technical side, and one person who's strong legally, who has volunteered in the registry constituency to review the position. It's going to be a rather limited position. We're not trying to write a book. We're trying to express some specific concerns, and there will be no specific recommendations on the nature of exactly what mechanisms, verification mechanisms, should be used, principally because we have to determine at what level these mechanisms would be implemented.
Why don't you include at least a section on some of the mechanisms that you know exist and are currently being used? I mean, it seems to me that would be something you could do fairly.
Well, Yeah, I could, I can, but the problem is that I asked specifically with the registries, and there's no quality control checks, to the best of my knowledge, and Ross, please slap me in the face if I'm wrong, at the registry level. In other words, the registry...
yeah, there's, I think there's consistency checks for... But they're technical.
Absolutely.
Consistency checks. In other words, did you give me data, not what data is
that,
this?
That's what I mean by quality versus... yeah.
Right.
Because
there's no assessment
the
of that data beyond...
The
is it ASCII or is it in IDN format or et cetera?
Right, okay. But anyway, why don't you get, Ken, why don't you shoot to get it to us on Friday, and then maybe we'll have a shot at getting it on Monday.
No, I had a question for you, Ken. Maybe you could, in going through and preparing this report, I read the bylaws to make sure that the report was consistent with what ICANN's, what the council's going to ask for and what the board's ultimately going to get. And I noticed that the registrar position statement, the IPC position statement, and the non-commercial position statement were deficient in a couple of areas. Would it impact your schedule of getting it done on Monday if you actually did it consistent with the bylaws?
I'm working on that.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I understand what you're saying.
My next question is going to be to the IP and the registrars and the non-commercials to see if they could remediate their submissions. So.
What's the problem with the IP submission, Ross?
It's just not consistent with the bylaw requirements, and I'm going to forward those to Liz shortly. I'm just copying here. I've been stuck in meetings, in and out of meetings all morning, so I didn't get a chance to do that. But essentially, the submissions are required to come along with a statement of whether or not it was supported by a supermajority of the constituency. If it wasn't, what opinions and positions were espoused by the constituency members, how the constituency arrived at its positions, an analysis of the issues and how it's going to affect the constituency's membership particularly, and whether there's any time and considerations regarding implementation. So I think we've got a lot of good opinion on the table for the most part, but we don't really have any data around
it. Why don't we not let that hold up drafting of the report?
Yeah, because I got news for you. That definitely will, because I can't, I have to, I'm trying to get a preliminary constituency position out to you guys, and if I have to go back and get a sign-off on the position on all the members of the constituency, I can promise you it'll be another 10 days.
Brian, I think... the IPC position, I'm certain that the IPC position was circulated for comments among the entire constituency worldwide.
No, I know, but Ross is making a technical objection to whether or not that constituency statement complies with the bylaws.
Yes.
And I think it's the kind of thing that maybe we should assess whether that's the case. I don't think it should hold up the report. I mean...
Isn't this a formality? More?
Well, no. Actually, it's not a formality. This is how the PDP is supposed to be executed, and it's not a formality at all. People's opinions are largely irrelevant. The position of the constituency is supposed to be a very serious thing, and I would prefer to write that report based on the positions of the constituency.
Well, look, Ross. This to me, I mean, I wonder whether this is just a delaying tactic. And it seems to me that we can write the report, we can go back to the constituencies to determine whether or not these are supermajorities and whether or not they comply with.
I'm not suggesting that these are linear tasks. But certainly, we approach this in a parallel manner.
I don't have any problem with going back to the IPC and saying, here's the latest.
I mean, that's my point. Since the IPC has already, approved of the previous submission, I'm sure that if we go back with the new submission, we will have a supermajority vote. Now, if that needs to be done in writing, I mean, we could set a deadline and ask people to, vote in favor or against by X date, and then we'll comply with that formality.
Yeah, but what we don't want to have happen is, I mean, I think we have to, now that this objection's been raised, we've got to go back to IPC and do this, and that's fine. But at the same time, I think we have to go forward with the report.
Okay.
This isn't just an issue of whether or not the constituencies support the documents put forward. I'm more concerned with the lack of data in certain areas, specifically as it relates to the impact of the constituency membership, the cost of implementation, and any timing considerations around it. And these are very important issues. These are not purely formalities that we're looking at because of a technical objection. This gets to the meat of implementing this policy. And if we can't do a good job of that, then I don't know what we're here for.
Well, what I'm saying is we can begin the drafting of the preliminary report.
Absolutely.
And we can go back to, I mean, I'm sending an email to the IPC right now alerting them, or at least this concern. It is a supermajority, but, you know, let's at least verify that. I don't have a problem with doing that. You know, let's not say, well, we're going to wait until, you know, next week to then start drafting the report.
No, that's not my proposal at all.
Yeah. All right, because I think we've got to make some progress here to the extent we can, and you know, so we'll go back to the IPC and do that, and then Ken can go to the registrar constituency, and Franny can go to the non-coms, and get that position. But let's go ahead and proceed.
Do we expect to hear from the business constituency and the SB constituency on this issue? Or did we cover that and I missed it?
On which issue?
As far as the work of our task force. Will they be submitting statements?
I haven't seen that they have submitted statements. Have they submitted statements?
We've been asking for a little extra time, but yeah, we intend to submit a statement for the ISP.
Greg, do you know when that's going to be coming?
Oh, any day now. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, to the extent, I mean, now that this issue's been raised, maybe you could make sure that statement complies with the ICANN bylaws regarding
okay.
the.
Yeah, I'll remind them.
If you could do that, and that way we won't have another problem.
Yeah.
Next week in trying to incorporate the views of the ISPs. But I think, you know, we'll deal with that technical objection and see to the extent we can whether or not we've got supermajority on this constituency statement. Which raises an interesting issue. What if we don't? Barbara, what do we do then? Is that...
Well, there's a couple of different avenues you can take. I mean, one is to delay... You know, to work with the constituency to get some feedback from them, and ask for a delay in your deadline. Which, by the way, the other task forces are strongly considering because they have had such weak response. From the constituencies as well. You guys aren't the only ones facing that. So that's one avenue. The other is to simply note that the constituency chose not to participate in addressing the conclusion, addressing the work of the task force, just be really explicit about it.
Right. Okay. Because I think what we should do is let's get done by April 9, whatever we can get done, and put it out there for people to consider. I mean, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot to comment on, really, because fortunately we lack substantive data. Let's at least not delay this process further. And I guess in my own mind, I think that we should, and what the task force wants to do, maybe we should take this as an opportunity to suggest some, as we were talking about a little bit earlier, I don't know if everybody was on the call then, but to suggest some kind of recommendation on perhaps a better way to go about getting at this information and data from the involved, constituencies and parties. As you know, there's some important issues here, but they're not, this sort of voluntary mechanism is not terribly effective for getting at the heart of the issues. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we can include a section in the report on that point as well. But in any event, we'll certainly go back to the IPC to make sure that we've complied with the bylaws regarding their statement. Kiyoshi and I can do that. And then Greg's going to talk with the ISPs. And I guess, Ken, why don't you get in whatever you're going to be submitting to us and then alert your constituency that you need to try to get a supermajority on this on their constituency statement when it comes in. I do think we want your preliminary thoughts on the verification mechanisms by Monday, just so we'll have that. Because I presumably you're working with others in the constituency, and that's going to be – you know, some kind of consensus, whether it rises to a level of supermajority or not, and that'll be helpful for us in putting together this preliminary report. Is Franny on the call? Did the non-coms, they submitted their constituency statement, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. All right, so, but getting back to Ken, it would be useful to get your written thoughts on that, both in terms of process and whatever mechanisms, you know, your concerns about the verification mechanisms, so that we can have that and incorporate that into the preliminary report. What about other substantive issues? Anybody else? First, Ken, were you finished?
Hold on for a second here, yeah. Well, as I indicated, I don't know whether Ross was on the call when I first started talking about this.
I got on at about 22, Ken. I think I caught about three-quarters of your conversation.
Did you catch my concerns about the verification mechanisms and where they should be placed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Okay. Yeah. As far as the best practice document goes, you know, I think that's a very difficult thing for us to look at, principally because we're really not in a position to determine, you know, where we're going with respect to outside parties. You know, I mean, I hope you understand what I'm saying. The registries really don't deal with the data on that basis. We're a repository, and for us, it's more technically a technical coordination in terms of dealing with the data once it's been acquired by us. But how the data is accumulated and then, in effect, verified for us is a technical function more than it is a qualitative function. So, you know.
Right. And I think you should, you know, you should lay that out in your written comments. But let me clarify, just so I'm clear on what the registry constituency is going to do. And I knew you're going to provide this. What are you calling what you're going to give us on Monday? Is it a constituency statement?
No, it's a constituency position at this point in time, not a statement.
All right, go ahead and get that to us on Monday. But let me ask you the next question. When are we going to get the constituency statement, if ever?
It's not a matter of ever. It's a matter of trying to develop, in other words, we're trying to determine exactly what we're supposed to be commenting on at this point in time. We were hoping we would have gotten more substantive interim information, and that's where we're running into a problem. You know, I mean, the statement is so esoteric at this point in time, you know.
Right. Right. Well, seems to me that what you might consider doing is simply, you know, laying out the concerns you've articulated, and to the extent that you think there are technical verification mechanisms that you can employ, laying out what those are. I mean, this is your opportunity to, you know, to speak, and we're all hampered by the lack of data, but at the same time, it seems to me that, you know, we ought to at least get our positions out there. And,
well, the problem is, when you say positions, we'd rather have a position on a specific issue rather than just saying how we feel about it. You know, I mean, accuracy is a good thing, but that's not a position. I'd rather have a position on implementation mechanisms, a position on best practices, and I'm not talking about forwarding specific issues, but rather I would have hoped that we would have been able to at least kick around what we think best practices are, what type of implementation we're talking about. I mean, we're writing report before we even really hashed a lot of this stuff out. And it's no reflection, please understand, it's no reflection on the task force, but more a reflection on the way the process has gone to date.
Right.
I'll give you an example. When we were talking about the .org task force, people were throwing ideas out about having people on the board of directors, where it should be coming from, policy should be starting from here or there. We can't get anybody to really come out and say this is really where we feel things should be done, and yet we're looking at implementing policy at some level. Do we implement the policy at the registrar level? Do we implement it at the registry level? You know, we can't even get, and then on the other hand, item number four, well, maybe it isn't item number four, it's the ICANN, the contract issues. It would be very helpful if we had some sort of an idea on what the contract implications were before we develop a position on it.
Yeah.
But Barbara's saying, well, you know, we can't tell you what the issues are until we know what you're talking about, you know.
I thought early on that Barbara, ICANN staff was going to review the contracts. I mean, that was one of our very first calls.
That's right, and that's what I've been waiting for as well.
Is that not, I mean, obviously, if that did not happen?
Review the contracts in what way? I mean, we produced an excerpt of all those areas that were mentioned who is in the accreditation agreement and looked at in another task force that produced a chart that was put up on the web, looked at what the requirements were for each of the different registries in terms of data collection. I'm more than happy to go to General Counsel and say do an analysis of the contracts in terms of who is, but I'm not quite sure what that's going to produce other than a listing of where who is mentioned and what the requirements are of each registrar at this time.
Okay, well let's I mean
if you want them to do an analysis of how changing certain things is going to affect the contract, then you have to tell them what things you want to change. I just don't see how it can work any other way.
Yeah, in any event. All right, well, I think, and your concerns are legitimate, and that's why I think we need your, you know, the constituency position and statement. And I don't know that we are... seems to me the goal of the task force was to gather this data and then make recommendations about best practices based on that data and then start making some, or you know, to set up some policy that could be implemented. We don't have the data, so I think we're going to be a little bit hamstrung. And I think in this report what we're going to have to do, because of the lack of data, is at the very least, lay out the positions various constituencies indicate whether or not they're super majorities in connection as indicated in the bylaws. And, you know, to the extent that there are specific recommendations, and you know, at least lay those out. It may be that the task force itself does not agree on the various position, and we'll just have to say that in the report. But I think we need to at least get that much by April 9 and get it out there. It seems to me that one logical end of this would be that we're just not there yet. There does need to be some meaningful data gathering. That hasn't happened, and it seems to me there's got to be some options for a better process to get at that.
So this is our final report, Brian. Is that correct?
Preliminary report. This is the April 9 report, and then it goes out for public comment. And, that's where we currently are. It seems to me that we should at least identify some of the options for best practices that have been laid out by the various constituencies. I know the IPC came up with at least some recommendation. I don't know what, and I guess the registrar had some statements in their, but we ought to at least lay out what has been put on the table, and that'll at least advance the ball a little bit. I think you, Ken, in your position paper and statement, you should, you know, you should lay out your concerns. I mean, I think that should be stated, and we'll include that in the report.
So, you know, we have a report. We distribute it by April the 9th. And what are next steps immediately after that? I don't have a schedule in front of me.
And there's a 20-day comment period, and which I guess would end on April 29th, or maybe they'll, you know, maybe they'll, I'm not sure when. It's supposed to be 20 days, and my understanding was it would be April 29th. And then I think a final report is due, under the current schedule, on or about May 20. And so that's where it is. And
so are we using a modified process here, Barbara?
Modified in what sense? I mean, yes, there have been changes to the process from what's in the PDP, but
okay.
But those changes have been.
I'm just trying to map it. I'm just trying to map it to the PDP in my head. So
yeah, no,
what...
this actually is about. If you ignore everything that came up to this point, this part is actually pretty close to what's in the PDP.
But just timing is different in some of the ordering, but okay.
But yeah, this
The ordering is actually the same. The ordering is you produce a preliminary report, you have a public comment period, you have to write a summary of the public comments that are received during that time and append them to the preliminary report, and if there's any substantive comment that the task force wants to take into account, they can modify the preliminary report to reflect that. And then you produce a final report that goes on to the council.
Right,
now
we're talking about the vote of the task force and the five-day period.
Right, yeah, and the five-day period has now obviously been extended to a, you know, 20-day period. But that's because of the realities of actually getting the work done.
Right.
But I think... If everyone's in agreement that, you know, at least one section of the report should be a recommendation about putting aside the PDP, at least purposes of making a recommendation, it seems to me it would be worth strongly recommending that a professional survey firm retained to conduct the survey to get the information that's being sought. Because it's really a very difficult task. Group of volunteers to get the kind of information we want on it in a reasonable amount of time. I think that's worth throwing in there, unless there's violent objection.
Yeah, our constituency would not support that anyway.
You would not?
No.
Why not?
ICANN has got, a very limited mandate. Paying survey firms to collect data for policy initiatives isn't one of them. The money's got to come out of the budget somewhere, and it's got enough problems to deal with at this point. So from a budget perspective, it's just not, rational, I think.
It's not rational? Yeah.
It's not a rational request, I don't think.
Yeah, well, it's not like we necessarily have to have every... Let's think about that. I'll draft that section, and we can under protest. That's okay. I mean,
this is Barbara. You can certainly have minority opinions reflected in the report, whether they, you know, and Brian, I'm not trying to characterize yours as the majority or the minority opinion. I'm just saying it's appropriate to, you know, if somebody wants to draft a section and say, you know, what's the general support for this section? We can still include the section if we make it clear what kind of support there was for including it.
I have no problem with that. I'm not trying to. I just think it's worth being said and hearing it, and particularly if there is a legitimate goal of trying to get something done. So, you know, and if it's a minority view, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But I think it would be worth at least including something like that in there because, you know, it's a lot of time and effort that goes into this and not a whole lot really comes out. And I think it would be worthwhile at least considering more of a private sector model for gathering the kind of information that's sought. And in terms of, you know, whether or not that's procedurally within ICANN's budget, that's something that ICANN can assess for itself. But it seems to me if you got somebody, I believe it was you, Barbara, who mentioned once the Gartner Group, which I think was actually a good idea, and they would probably be willing to do it for the right money, that would be a way to at least get at the information and would make it much more likely that you could gather data and get data at a statistically significant level that would be useful for developing policy. But, you know, that's just a paragraph or two that we can throw in as a food for thought, maybe. Getting back to the substance of the report, anybody else have any other comments for Ross as he starts putting this together? Ross, did you have any comments you wanted to make beyond the procedure of the...
Nothing beyond what I posted to the mailing list, no.
In terms of to make anything that...
Sorry?
Do you have the paragraph of the ICANN bylaws that includes this statement?
It's on the mailing list.
Yeah, he put it on the mailing list.
Is it in there?
Yeah, actually, Ross, I just wanted to clarify because I missed how you began your statement about the IP constituency statement. But
deficiency in the registrar, IPC, and non-co. I wasn't singling anyone out.
Right. Okay. So that what you're really looking for, that the part that you feel is lacking, and I may say I noticed this, is an analysis of how the issues would affect the constituency.
Sections 3, 4, and 5 are my main concerns. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So
specifically section 4. Yes.
Yeah.
Section 4 of the bylaws or of the test?
No. Section 4 of the constituency statement. Section of the global of the policy development process.
Okay.
I think we just got a reminder email from Ross with all these.
Right. He just sent it out to the list that these are the requirements of the constituency statement, and I would encourage everybody to go back to your constituency if you've already submitted something or if you're still preparing something, and really recognize that it's going to be helpful to understand what the perspective is of your constituency in terms of how you are affected by this issue. And if you can't make a clear statement about that, then you need to put in something about why you can't make a clear statement about that, either because the constituency is too conflicted or it is, you know, it's too various a consideration or whatever. But to just not leave it answered is to allow other people to make assumptions about how this affects you, and to leave that so unspoken is, I think, likely to lead to misunderstandings or misperceptions about, you know, what the actual impact would be on your constituency.
Well, let me ask you this, just so I'm clear, because I don't have the bylaws in front of me. I do have Ross's recitation of them. Are the bylaws, are these mandatory or permissive, or how does it work?
These are in the section on the policy development process on constituency statements. And, you know, they're permissive in the sense that...
Here's my question, Barbara, just to narrow it.
Sure.
That a constituency statement should do these things, or does it say that they must do these things?
Well,
in other words, from a legal perspective.
It uses the word shall, and I'm afraid I'm not enough of a lawyer to be able to say whether that's a should or a must.
Must, if it's a shall.
Yeah, it's a shall. They shall. And so I would tend to say that that's interpreted as a should, but don't take that as a definitive answer. I simply don't know.
What you're saying is that an ICANN shall is a should instead of a shall?
That's just it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying... I honestly wouldn't be able to give an answer to that.
kidding. I just wanted to find out whether or not, what I'm trying to get my hands around is whether or not the requirements that Ross has circulated are mandatory to the extent that if you don't have a supermajority, then the position is not considered, or whether it's just, you know, this is the ideal of what we would like, but it's not, you know, it's not mandatory.
Well, no, it says, it's very clear. It says if a supermajority vote was reached, you have to be clear about that, and if a supermajority vote was not reached, you have to be clear about what the different positions were.
Okay,
that's fine. The idea here is that these are the elements that should be included in the constituency statement so that those evaluating the statement can most clearly draw conclusions from it and not have to make assumptions about how representative is it of the constituency and you know, did they...
Understood. Okay.
So I think the idea here is to go for clarity. It's not to pin anyone down on, you know, their processes or anything. It's really just to make it clear, you know, does this represent the constituency or does this represent some minority position in the constituency or, you know, what?
That's fine. Well, then why don't everybody go back to your constituency, make sure that you button it up by complying with the bylaws in terms of the supermajority and otherwise as set forth in Ross's email. And that way, you know, don't delay getting in whatever you're getting in, but at some point you need to confirm it one way or the other, whether it's a supermajority, and if not, what the other views, that kind of thing. So we'll and get those in as quickly as possible. Ross, do you need anything else in terms of drafting the preliminary report?
Let me just pull up my email, make sure I've got everything answered. One brief second. Is there any discussion regarding additional data verification mechanisms that I missed prior to joining?
Really just Ken's concern about data verification mechanisms for the registries and whether or not it happens at a technical level and it has to happen at the point where the consumer is inputting the data.
And so beyond those that I've noted and those that Ken has noted, are there any others that the task force is aware of?
Well, look, you need to look at the constituency statements because I think there's some stated in there. I mean, I know for the IPC, for example, talked about manual verification methods, et cetera, and I think that that needs to be included, whether it's a task force position or merely a constituency position. That should be in there. And then I think, you know, to the extent that we have additional responses to the survey, we should at least look at those and maybe mention that, you know, we had one or two or three responses and the following types of mechanisms, but clearly indicating that it's not statistically significant and not representative because there's so few numbers that it's not representative of necessarily of, you know, industry practice. It's just this one, you know, particular, these two or three particular registrars or ISPs.
Have we received additional surveys?
I haven't checked recently, so I'm
unable to check, so I literally don't know. Is Glenn on the call? Maybe she could help.
Yes, I'm on the call.
Hi, Glenn. Have we received any additional surveys?
No, not that I'm aware of.
It's a total of one or two?
Yes.
Okay.
What has come in just right now is the Alex statement.
Which you just sent around?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Ross, do you need any help in terms of putting together this draft by Friday?
It should be okay.
All right. And when do you think you're going to circulate that? I mean, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get into next week and not
Friday.
Because I think I could envision that we're going to have substantial edits, perhaps.
Friday close of business is fine.
Okay. That'd be helpful. Okay, anybody else have anything they want to add? So Ross is going to circulate this in 2 days, and I think if people could read it over the weekend, and then the report's going to be due a week from Friday, So I think as soon as we can get comments into Ross, the better it would be.
I'd prefer the comments to go directly to the list.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, great.
Send them directly to the list. And it may be that, you know, and don't feel free. Feel free to make substantial revisions. I mean, I think it's useful to get everybody's views on the table here. So we can at least try to come up with a revised draft by, hopefully by, say, Tuesday of next week, and then be in a position to get something final and to figure out where the task force comes down on particular issues, so that we have that all buttoned up by close of business next Friday. Anything else anybody has to add? Okay, well then why don't we, in light of the deadline, what do people think about having a call on maybe Tuesday of next week? Does that make any sense?
It can't be at this time because there's already another task force scheduled to meet at this time.
Yeah,
okay. What do you all think about that?
Tuesday. I'm done all day. There's no way I could schedule anything on Tuesday.
All right. Well, let's just stick with our regular time. And but in the interim, let's get comments to Ross via the list, and that way we can at least get that. You know, we'll all have it, and we can be submitting it, and it'll help us get to. So we'll plan on meeting again this time next Wednesday, which will be the 7th, 10:30.
Okay.
All righty.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.